What does it mean to be a Christian woman in our feminized secular society? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Ladylike, Living Biblically. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Ladylike, Living Biblically by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. A Voice for Lutheran Women, Ladylike, Living Biblically, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
The Emperor is coming.
We must avoid dishonor by cultivating goodwill with his successor.
You mean Caligula?
You may not be so keen to welcome us when you find out why we're here.
Tell me where Peter is, and we'll stop.
I don't think it'll be any better in Samaria, Philip.
Let me help you.
In the journey here, I saw four vultures.
This place gives you visions.
Simon, the sorcerer!
He thinks he can do what I can't.
In the name of Jesus, I release you from your prison.
Do you repent your sins?
I do.
Tell Saul about Peter.
He headed north.
Where?
Damascus.
A little bit from this Sunday's episode, episode 7 of the TV miniseries AD, The Bible Continues. You get the feeling sometimes when you're watching this or watching clips of it that it's kind of like fan fiction. You know what fan fiction is? They'll take the characters from one of their favorite shows, movies, whatever it may be. Let's say for The Hobbit, for the sake of argument. And they'll write their own fiction with the same characters. Same names, different scenario, different things happening, not the original story. And that's what AD, The Bible Continues, is beginning to feel like. It's beginning to feel like fan fiction for the book of Acts. Love Acts, love Peter, love Paul, love all the characters in there. But let's tell a different story than the one that's actually in the Bible. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be reviewing Episode 7 of AD, The Bible Continues, with Pastor Ted Giese. A little bit later, Dr. Uwe Simonetto joins us. We're going to talk about a vocational response to the epidemic of narcissism in our culture. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we look forward to Sunday morning, according to the Historic Lectionary, with Pastor David Peterson. We'll be going into Pentecost Sunday, talking a bit about the actual Old Testament celebration of Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit, and all the propers for this coming Sunday in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners use the Issues Etc. comment line, the number 618-223-8382. Joining us to review Episode 7 of AD, The Bible Continues, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Seminary, Lutheran Seminary, titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Last time we were reviewing Episode 6, they were focusing on Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. There are a few verses beyond. Why are they focusing so much on this opening of Acts chapter 8, and are they even doing a good job of it?
Well, I think they're focusing on this because it's a way of introducing Saul, who will be St. Paul. So they wanted, I think this is why they're doing that, that they want you to have a couple episodes with Paul, like future Paul with Saul in it, before you get to his road to Damascus conversion, right? I think that's why they're doing that. Now, like, for instance, with those three verses, the one that they're really focusing in on, even more so this time, is the third verse from Acts chapter 8, which is, "But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison." So, like, that's, you see more of that, the dragging people off into prison. But now, of course, you also get some additional things that the text doesn't say, which is, like, Saul being involved in torturing people for information and things of that nature. So that's kind of additional stuff that's somewhat speculative. We don't know whether he was torturing people for information, But that's included in this too. Also, the one spot in there, it says that the apostles didn't leave and they stayed in Jerusalem, and you see some of that in this one also. People are urging they're urging Peter to leave, and he isn't leaving. So that's part of the story as well. But it's a small part of this episode, really, overall.
What's the majority of this episode, then, if it's not treating the actual biblical material that it's allegedly based on?
Well, you remember that part of the Bible where Caligula hits on Mary Magdalene when she's, working in Pontius Pilate's house, his house as a serving girl?
No, I don't.
No. See, that's what the rest of this episode's really based on, the majority of it. It's based on this fictional account of Tiberius Caesar showing up in Jerusalem to kind of check things out, get the lay of the land, talk to everybody who's in charge of everything. That would include Caiaphas and Pilate and Herod Antipas. So that's the main thing that's going on in this episode. And he brings with him his nephew, Caligula, and there's stuff connected to all of that. And that's the majority of it. So it's kind of split half and half between that and Philip going to Samaria and dealing with Simon the magician, or starting to deal with him. But really, that's almost like the B-plot, is the part that's actually from Scripture with Philip going to Samaria. The real major thrust of the episode is this surprise visit from Tiberius Caesar, which, as far as I can tell, you'd have to ask Dr. Paul Meyer about that. But I'm from everything I've looked into, I can't find Tiberius Caesar making a surprise visit to Jerusalem. That's what it's based on.
Is this just fan fiction at this point?
Well, it's in some ways, I mean, it seems like they're more enamored with the idea of telling a story about Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate and governing Jerusalem than they are in telling the actual story that's in the book of Acts. At the very least, they're competing neck and neck, like coming to the finishing line. So that to me is a really unusual thing. So when you get this far out, you're really getting past, well, certainly for Pontius Pilate, you're getting past any actual information, biblical information you're going to have about these two men. So this is all, like, and their wives and their family situations and, like, you know, in terms of, like, Caiaphas's, father-in-law. But there's just, it is, like, when it comes to those two characters, it's almost entirely fan fiction. Less so when you get to Peter and the rest of them, because they're still somewhat grounded, for the most part, in what's in Scripture, except, often presented in a way that isn't the way Scripture would have it. I guess, like, one of the kind of Peter fan fiction moments in this is him kind of presiding over Holy Communion in a in hiding with Roman soldiers tromping around, and like, I guess it's not Roman soldiers, it's Saul and his temple soldiers tromping around trying to find them. But then it doesn't look like communion as presented in the upper room by Christ, or presented the way that, St. Paul, like Saul, who later is St. Paul, describes it in Scripture either. So, the fan fiction part is the way they present it. And for all of you who have got the words of institution memorized, this is, and maybe you haven't seen this episode of the show, but you're listening to kind of keep on top of things, this is the way that Peter, presides over communion. He says, and I just typed down these words, he said, Jesus told us that this wine was his blood and this bread his body. We eat and drink them now to give us the strength to bear witness to him and to live in unity with him. So what's missing? Like, well, it's not any sort of formula we would recognize. But on top of that, the one thing that's missing is the forgiveness of sins. not in there. So I'm sitting there watching this. I'm thinking, well, why isn't it there? Is it there because they think the, you know, the disciples, like the remaining disciples, the apostles, and the, you know, close inner circle just don't need the forgiveness of sins because they don't sin anymore? Like, I don't know. I'm at this point, if it's fan fiction, I can't completely crawl into their brain to figure out why they're doing what they're doing in all instances. But for me, like, I noticed that, okay, so you're going to make a fan fiction variety version of the words of institution. Why on earth would you leave forgiveness out? That should be a giant red flag for any viewer who has been catechized.
So that's a major fail. I mean, a major dropping of the ball there theologically when it comes to, I mean, you do have to say, well, good for them. They depicted a celebration of the Lord's Supper, which,
yeah,
you know, a lot of people simply would have avoided. But when they did, they depicted it in such a ham-fisted way that it's hardly recognizable. How are they doing with the setup of Saul slash Paul? And what's obviously going to be the thing that's trying to keep people listening, or I'm sorry, viewing past, what, 8 episodes or something, not giving up on this thing. How are they doing for the setup there?
Well, they very cleverly made sure that the scenes from next week included, you know, Saul on the road to Damascus and him actually meeting Jesus. So they put that in there as the hook for next week. Like, listen, if I would have tapped out on this a while back, but I'm watching it through to the end. Sometimes I watch things so you don't have to, and that's what this is about. But I could see where somebody might, at the end of this episode, the 7th episode, say, you know, I'm done with this. But then they see the scenes from next week, and they go, oh, look, I want to see how they do that. So perhaps that's, you know, clever marketing on their part. In terms of Saul, they certainly are setting him up as an oppositional force towards the church. And he is more of a villain. They're setting up him as being more of a villain than Caiaphas is. And in fact, he's enough of a villain that Caiaphas has to figure out a way to get him out of town because he's causing trouble, which is strange. But what Caiaphas does is he plants information. So, you know, Saul ends up torturing some guy and finds out that, quote-unquote, Peter is up in Damascus, so he's going to go up there to find Peter. And that's the reason why he's going to be going to leave town. So it's a clever ruse to get him the heck out of Jerusalem because he's such a villain. And from his own account, like, Paul, like, later talks about, you know, how bad he was. And they do a good job at that, like, showing him being, like, really not pleased with the whole concept of Christianity at all. But, I mean, I'm finding less and less good things I could say about the show. It's getting very weak, and there's just less and less each week to say that point out. I like to try to point out one or two things that maybe are okay, but it's there's less and less of that. It's getting quite worse.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have a little bit more of Pastor Ted Giese's increasingly sad review of AD, The Bible Continues. We're only up to episode 7, and the thing is slated to go 12 episodes, if I'm not mistaken. Pastor Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. We'll get his final thoughts here on AD, The Bible Continues, episode 7. Then Dr. Uwe C. Mineta will join us. We'll talk about a vocational response to the narcissism of our culture and of ourselves. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
It's amazing to me that one of the greatest life, in fact, the greatest life ever lived, that of Jesus of Nazareth, has come under attack for being non-historical.
Dr. Paul Meyer talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
If we use all the rules of historical research, we find that Jesus passes all those tests perfectly, and that indeed there is easy documentation that I can give to every Christian to prove that, yes, there was a historical Jesus of Nazareth beyond all debate.
You can meet and hear Dr. Paul Meyer making the case for the historical Jesus Friday, June 19th and Saturday, June 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is located 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Attendance is limited to 400. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The people of Zion Lutheran Church, East Moline, Illinois, invite you to discover the blessings that await you here. At Zion, we proclaim a gospel of free grace for all. No one ever falls too low to find forgiveness and peace with God in Christ Jesus. To learn more, visit us at zionem.com or join us on Sunday at 9 a.m. Zion is located at 17618 Hubbard Road in rural East Moline, Illinois.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through AD The Bible Continues, Episode 7, a review with Pastor Ted Giese. Folks, 1 month from today, we're going to kick off the premier conference for the laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We already have 300 attendees registered, and we only have room for 400. That means there are only 100 slots left if you want to register for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The speakers include regular guests here, Dr. Paul Meyer, Molly Hemingway, David Menton, Will Wheaton, Jonathan Fisk, and Chris Roseborough. Registration is $100, and that includes three meals. You can find out more, and you can register at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 19th, and Saturday, June the 20th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois, which was only 15 miles east of St. Louis. Pastor Giese, what other characters do they manage to squeeze in here amongst both the biblical characters and the ones that they're just kind of running afield with, and how do they do with that?
They did actually, one person they add in is Herodotus's brother Agrippa, who shows up later in the Book of Acts, and they have him being a very close friend with Caligula, and this Caligula is kind of like having, like, is a person who's depicted as he is in history, so like there may be a bit of a closer relationship between Agrippa and him than you're going to find in history books, the way they presented it on the screen. But that's added in as well into this visit, which doesn't coincide with anything from Scripture. But from Scripture, what you do get is Simon. And we mentioned Simon before a little bit in passing. He's a magician up in a city in Samaria. And that becomes part of the story. And this is just tucked in right before Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in the Book of Acts. So they do cover that. So what happens is that Philip goes up to a town in Samaria, a city in Samaria, and then comes into contact with this Simon the magician. So of course they don't miss the opportunity of like having a magic show. They don't describe anything quite like that in Scripture per se, but they do say that he was a magician, and many people had been turning to him and listening to him. This Simon. What happens in Scripture is that he ends up getting baptized by Philip, and that happens in this show also. What they didn't cover is that later Peter goes up to Samaria, this same city in Samaria, and Simon the magician tries to buy the power of the Holy Spirit off of Peter. So that may come in a future episode, I don't know, but they didn't quite cover that, although they did cover the idea that Simon expected to have the power to heal people after being baptized. So they do cover that. The way they introduce it is perhaps novel. I mean, it's a fictionalized account of it, because the way that Scripture says that this all happened was that when Philip arrives in the city, he arrives preaching, casting out demons, and healing the paralyzed and the lame, and that's what gets everything going up there. The way they present it is Philip is showing up, he gets robbed by Samaritans, who are not good Samaritans, Samaritan bandits, and then he kind of ends up being a secret shopper in Simon the Magician's magic show. So he's kind of in the back of the crowd, and he sees him try to do some things, and one of the things he tries to do is kind of raise a lady who looks as though she's dead from death, and he's unable to do it. And then he comes up and says, "Let me try," and he does. And you get the Holy Spirit wind thing and some light from heaven, and then she's risen up. And that's the catalyst for Simon wanting to be baptized. So Scripture does say that, you know, like, implies very strongly that he had maybe the wrong reasons for wanting to get baptized, and because he ends up trying to buy the Holy Spirit from Peter. But you know, like, I guess there's a thing about baptism in it that I think is odd, is that they don't have, like, clearly he wasn't taught that necessarily wouldn't happen for him, right? You know, he just expected that was going to happen. So I think that maybe he was looking at baptism as a magic trick. And maybe that fits with the story, but generally speaking, they aren't showing people getting taught in the midst of everything. So baptism in the show is being presented not the way it actually happens in real life.
So essentially leaving the audience, for what it's worth, leaving the audience as confused as Simon the Magician on the real role of baptism.
Yeah. I mean, like, and this is where, when you take Matthew 28, like, the Great Commission out, where Jesus says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. When you take that part out, because they didn't show that at the Ascension, like in this show, they didn't show that, then they've kind of dropped the bar on where they need to be for the whole teaching element of it, right? So you're not getting baptisms followed up by teaching happening. I mean, if you're going to fictionalize something and you're going to add something in, you know, like, why not build on what the text of Scripture actually says? You know, like, show a scene of some catechesis or, like, answering some questions somebody might have. And maybe that's not appropriate for Simon the Magician, because he does, in the end, try to buy the Holy Spirit from Peter. So clearly he doesn't have it all worked out. But clearly he's also, like, you, at one point you just see him standing alone in the water, like Philip has baptized him and left, which Philip does, because that's what happens with the Ethiopian eunuch. But he at least had taught the Ethiopian eunuch before the baptism, like pointing out from Scripture everything about Christ, starting with that passage from Isaiah. But there's Simon, he's just standing in the water, and then his friend comes by, and he rushes over to his friend, and he takes a knife out, and he cuts the friend's hand, the palm of his hand, and then tries to heal him, and it doesn't work. And the friend is a little put out, and he says, "Can I go now and bandage this?" Like, so clearly, like, he's not been clued into things. Simon hasn't, and I, you know, it's unusual, you know. But all the other instances of baptism have been similar in that they show them baptizing, but they don't show them teaching.
One last question, Ted, and they're in episode 7. They have a lot of acts left. I mean, a lot of the book is left. And in fact, if they're trying to make this kind of action-packed, they've got a lot of story to tell when it comes to the kind of wide-ranging ministry of Paul after he is converted. You think they're going to be able to squeeze the rest of this stuff into 5 episodes?
No. If you look on IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, This is season one.
Oh, brother. So they're gonna, it's going to be a cliffhanger at the end of 12 episodes, and we're going to pick up more?
Yeah. See you next year. I don't know. I think that they're going to be getting up to, I think, somewhere around chapter 11. And I imagine what they're doing is that they're going to end up, if they're going to do another series of this, another mini-series of this, they would probably then end up focusing on Paul and Paul's missionary journeys. Because that gets them out into the empire and other things, right? I'm guessing that that's what's going to happen. So really what you're looking for is that Peter and Cornelius at the, like in Acts chapter, I think it's chapter 11, that's what you're going to, that's going to be kind of like rounding things off at the end of this.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Next time, we'll have Pastor Giese review the movie Mad Max Fury Road. Ted, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Uwe Simonetto talking about a vocational response to the narcissism of our day. He's author of the book Triumph of the Absurd, Reporter's Love for the Abandoned People, and a new book he's written a chapter for, Where Christ is Present. His chapter's titled Vocation versus Narcissus. We'll be right back.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.